We're just going to look in one passage. We're not looking anywhere else this evening. And what I want to do is talk about the shepherds and what was going on in that time. You know, when we think about Christmas and, you know, we're like, okay, we know that is the birth of Jesus and we got that. And I believe that as time goes on, people have truly forgotten what Christmas is all about. We get caught up, or I would say we get wrapped up in presents, right? And it's just, it's all of a sudden it becomes this rat race to get what we can get, as much as we can get. And then we get mad when we get gifts, but they're not the gifts we want. Boy, talk about attitude problems and selfishness, right? And so, all right, we have anyone wants a Bible to use? Ray, just go down to center or whatever. Yeah, work your way up. Chris, I got one up front here. And so what happens is, because we get so focused on gifts and we get so focused on all the wrong stuff, then we really lose sight of Jesus. We lose sight of the reason for that, that we celebrate Christmas. And that's the birth of Jesus Christ. And what I thought I would do is take a different look or look at the shepherds tonight. I want to focus on the shepherds and what happened with them in the field. Because the shepherds, when we think about who a shepherd is, especially back then, shepherds were like the low of the low. You know, they put them out in the woods or out in the field, forget about them. They stink. They're uneducated. There's just not a whole lot good about shepherds, other than the fact they keep their sheep if they're a decent shepherd. If they're not, then they don't even protect their sheep. And so shepherds just, they weren't your first class citizens, if you will. Right? Especially because they looked poor. They usually were poor and they stunk. And I don't know if any of you have ever been around sheep, but they can stink. I'm just saying. And so here we have the shepherds and they're in the field. And I'm going to pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to cover 20 verses today. For those of you that... apparently that's my joke of the evening. Listen, I can preach for a month on a word, so I'm just, I get it. But we're going to cover, because I got to get it done, we're going to cover 20 verses, and we're going to cover them pretty quickly. In 2:1, and it's 1 through 7, I'm just going to read it because we're setting up the stage, if you will, of what's happening. And so in 2:1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And so if, for those of you who don't know, Joseph had to go back to his hometown. They were married, so you go back to the man's place, and they went back to their home, his hometown, Bethlehem, as well as all the people at that time in that area had to go back to their hometown. They had to register or take a census, okay? And so that's what happened here. Go to the next one. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So, you know, birth pains came. She has a child. Next. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I'll leave it right there just for a minute. If you notice, there's no innkeeper. So the story that you hear at Christmas time where it says, and what did the innkeeper say? Sorry, there's no room in the inn. No, that's all made up. It just simply states there was no room. So if next time someone's like, hey, what did the innkeeper say? So I go, nothing. Nothing. Right. There's no room for them in the inn. The inn would have just been like a two-story house, if you will, and they would rent out space, and then they had the stable out where you would tie up your horse or donkey or whatever you came in on, and that's what it was. It wasn't like it was a motel or a hotel like we would commonly think. It literally was just a two-story house, and the family would rent out rooms to make money. That's what this was, okay? Verse 8. Now, here's where I want to focus, because there's a few things in here that I really want us to see that I think is pretty amazing. We're going to read 8 through 20, and then we're going to come back up to 8, okay? All right, here we go. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, watching over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was that when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So that is what we have, where God shows up. The angels appear before the shepherds, tell the shepherds what's going on. The shepherds listen, they're in awe, and then they go and they're praising God and they're rejoicing. But there's so much in this passage that if we're not careful, we absolutely miss. In verse 8, we see in verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Verse 9, and behold, that word behold, remember, is let me get your attention. That's behold. This is a major event going on. So it's not like it's like, and behold, the angel. No, no. This is major. Let me get your attention. Behold, I need you to pay attention. So it says in 9, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Greatly afraid being abnormally in fear. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, this is a huge point here, because I want you to see, he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings." Listen, this is good news that's going to cause great joy, and it's going to be for everyone. And the whole idea here that this is encompassing all people, not just the Jews. This is what's good for you and I. Because now the door has been opened for us to be saved, for us to believe unto Jesus as our Lord and Savior, so that we have a way to heaven. You know, so many people get caught up in religion, and they get caught up in all these things that are religious, but they miss the most crucial point of this, and that's the relationship. And so many people walking around believing that they were saved, but it's like, yeah, I believe in God, so I'm going to heaven. But no. With all of your heart, do you believe Jesus is Lord and Savior? Do you believe He is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that you have to surrender your life, your soul, everything to Him? Do you believe that? Going to church doesn't get us to heaven. Our parents praying for us doesn't get us to heaven. And so the angel says, "Listen here, shepherds." Remember, he's talking to the shepherds. "Don't be afraid. Behold, listen up. I bring you good tidings," or "I bring you good news of great joy that's going to be for everyone." Next verse. "For there is born to you this day." Okay, most people miss this. "For there is born to you." You. Who's he talking to? The shepherds. And he's telling them, today your Savior has been born. And go back one verse. It's not just for them. It's for all people. It's for everyone. It's for you and me and them and everyone and anyone who's going to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's huge. This child is not just a child born in a manger. This child is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that's going to bring great joy, because the joy comes when you believe. When salvation comes, that's the joy. It's so funny. I was talking to Don earlier today, this evening, and you came 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, whatever it's been. And he's like, yeah, I got saved. But see, he had it here. Then he came a few weeks ago. He started coming back, him and his wife. And Chris, his boy. And then Don got saved. And he come up to me, just tears pouring down his face. And he was like, uncontrollable tears. And he goes, it's real this time. It's real. And like, and I told him, I was like, dude, I love the tears. When I got saved back in October of 1994, I know I only look 29, but this was back in October of 94. Man, when I gave my life to Christ, and my wife's sitting right there, she can verify it, for 3 hours I bawled. The church emptied out. Everybody went home, had lunch, and was taking their nap, and I was still in the back room weeping because I knew who I was at that point and who God was. And I've never been the same since. That's over 31 years ago. I'm just telling you, this great joy is when you actually find Jesus. He's no longer God is no longer the big guy in the sky or the man upstairs. Oh no, he is my Savior, my Lord Jesus. God the Father, he is my God. Everything changes because we see him in a different light. You know, I see women, I'm like, yeah, that's a woman. I see my wife, and I'm like, ooh, that's my honey. You see the difference. That's what I'm talking about. And so many people just like, yeah, God's God or Jesus is Jesus. But man, when I think of Jesus, I think, oh, what a wretched man I am, and where would I be if it wasn't for that day that he saved me? That's the great joy. Next verse. For there is born to you this day. He's talking to the shepherds. For there is born to you, comma, shepherds, comma, if you will. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, because they were roughly about 6 miles out, give or take, is what I've read in the commentaries. In the city of David, so they would have known it was Bethlehem, who is Christ the Lord. Next verse. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. I find this so intriguing because the angels came down and is talking to the shepherds, the most lowly of low. And he's talking to them. And he's like, listen, for you, the Savior is born. For all people, the Savior is born. And this is how you can find him. And so he tells the shepherds how to find this baby. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's going to be lying in a manger. And so it was a thing for them to wrap in swaddling clothes. There's a lot to that. I don't have time to get into that. But there's not too many babies you find lying in a manger. You know what I'm saying? It's just so there's kind of a giveaway there. Next verse. And suddenly there was, go back one. There's one more point I want to cover. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That's a sign to them. The sign to us is Jesus died on the cross. He's not on it anymore. He died. He was buried. He rose on the third day. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And the sign to us is a word of truth that has never, ever faltered, never, ever been wrong in any sense. There's no errors. There's no discrepancies in the Word of God. It is history. It's historical. We see that. It's been proven over and over. They don't deny any of that. The only part about the Bible that they deny, not its historicity and not even the facts that are laid out in it. The part that they deny, when I say they as the world or those that don't believe, is that Jesus was the Son of God. And why would the world deny that? Well, because their father is Satan, and Satan doesn't want you to know the truth because Satan doesn't want you to know Jesus. And so they're like, oh yeah, all of it's true, but you can't believe Jesus was God. Like nobody rose from the dead. Yeah, yes. Yeah, this child that was born, he rose from the dead. He died for us, each and every one of us. Over 2,000 years ago, and he's still celebrated to this day. This sign. I find it interesting that God always gives signs. Why? Because he wants us, it's to all people, he wants us to be with him. It's not that God wants to send us to hell, because he doesn't. That we're on. I know this is not a good Christmas topic, but bear with me. Because, well, what good is it to tell you why a child is born if I don't tell you what you have waiting for you if you don't give your life to this child? And it's not a scare tactic. It's just facts. It's information for you to do with it what you will. But God said, listen, you are born. And by the way, it's not a plug, but you can go back and listen to the other sermons where I laid it all out the whole month of December. But he says, listen, you are born and you're automatically not going to heaven. Because we're sinful people. And so the Father says, I'm going to send my Son so you have a way to heaven. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to decide if we see the sign and then follow it and then surrender our life to Jesus Christ. That's up to us. And if we deny Jesus, then we have to deal with the fallout. And if we believe unto Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who is for all people, then we're gloriously saved. And then one day heaven is our home when we shed this old body and lack of hair. We're going to be there one day. Amen. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Now hold on right here. Because this is huge. You know, I'm a word guy. Those of you who don't know, now you do. I'm a word guy. And so I was studying this verse out, and suddenly, which means like instantly, bang, there it was. And it was shocking to the shepherds. Suddenly there was with the angel, and we don't know the angel's name, but guessing from all everything else we've read about and with Mary, this could possibly be Gabriel. We don't know that. But there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts. And so I wanted to investigate heavenly hosts. I wanted to investigate who are they and exactly who are they. And when I researched the word and went back into the Greek for the word host, it's a military term. And I went, well, that's odd. And it's literally the heavenly army is literally how that would read. And you go, okay, army. No, you don't understand. Listen, it's the army. Why would we have an army? Because Jesus, this baby, God has sent all that he had, this heavenly host, this army of angels to watch over him, to tell the shepherds, to praise, to give glory, to give honor. And then it says that they're praising God and saying, and now the saying is unbelievable too. Look at this. Glory to God, theos. Now, not Elohim. Elohim would be like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Glory to God, God plural. It's not God plural. That's not it. Glory to God is theos. One God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation, the God that holds everything together. Theos, one glory to theos, the one God in the highest. There's nobody higher. He is it, the highest. And on earth, peace. And I thought, did God really bring peace? Because we still have wars and rumors of wars and battles. And if you read the Old Testament, man, there was war after war after war. As a matter of fact, some people believe that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament because they seem so opposed to one another. And they're not opposed to one another. It just shows that God is a God that loves us, but he has a standard that he expects to be met. And then the God of the New Testament, he realizes that we are fools and that we're slow. Even you and me, we're all slow and we need a savior. And so here comes Jesus. And so now we have this grace, love, and mercy because God has made a way through Jesus. So he doesn't have to hold everyone to this law to live right because now we have Jesus. We believe unto him, the Holy Spirit comes in us, and now we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit because the law tells us that we're sinners and the Holy Spirit saves us and shows us how to walk as children of God. And so this glory to God, theos, in the highest, nobody's higher, and on earth, peace. This peace only comes, this peace that he's talking about here, this and on earth, peace, only comes when you know theos. And you can only know theos through this Christ child who dies for us. And then once you're saved, you're born again, this is the peace. And I'm going to tell you, so many people I talk to and they'll come up to me or I'll counsel or whatever, and they're losing their mind because the world has lost its mind. And there's no peace. There's no peace in their head. There's no peace in their heart. There's no peace in their soul. There's no peace in their home. There's no peace in their work. There's just no peace. This peace that he's talking about, and on earth, peace, is salvation, goodwill. This is going to blow your mind. Maybe not. I enjoyed it. Maybe it was just for me. We're going to find out. Goodwill literally is God's desire toward men. That's what goodwill means. God's desire, his desire. And so what is it? It is God's desire toward men, women, children, men being humanity, to have his peace while we're on earth. But it only comes through his child, Jesus. Someone just say amen, make me feel good. Thank you, right? Guys, when you look at this and you're reading the scriptures, you know, how many times have we read this or we sing this or whatever, and we've missed the whole point in this. Glory to theos. He's in the highest. And on earth, peace is his desire for us through the Christ child who's born. That's literally what this is, what this means. God's desires for you and I to have peace. How many want heat? Oh, awesome. Some of you just going, there you go. Which tells us what? You're never really going to have peace within until you have Jesus in. And it's God's desire for that, but men get so prideful. We think we can do it on our own. I don't need that. I have God. I believe in God. No, you don't. No, you don't. You believe in you. Well, I have this my own relationship with him. I don't need to talk about it. You're not talking about it because you don't know him. And who wants to talk about someone you don't know? Well, some do, but you get the idea. We can't carry on an intelligent conversation about Jesus if we don't know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you another thing. We can't carry on a conversation about the Bible if we don't know the Bible. And we don't know God if we don't know the Bible. And if we don't know God because we don't know the Bible, we don't know Jesus because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so if you don't know the Word, you don't know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you have a desire to know the Word. They go hand in hand. We can't even deny it. And it is God's desire. The goodwill is his desire toward us that we have his peace on earth because he is theos, God in the highest. Whew. That right. Listen, if that don't juice your juicer's broke. That's all I'm saying. That is an amazing passage. And then he tells the shepherds, a Savior has been born to you, for you. They were Jews and all people. That's us. For this, that is the most... That is the most amazing, loving, glorious God that you can even imagine. That he loved us so much that he went through all he went through and sent his son Jesus so that we could have his peace while we're on earth, because that's his desire toward us, to be with him. That is just, when you grab that, it is amazing. Next verse. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Some of you, you're here today or this evening, and I pray you're here either because you just want to know more about Jesus and you want to celebrate by being in the house of God where we love God, we love Jesus, and you want to be around one another, and what a way to start Christmas. Amen. And some of you have come because you're invited, but you don't know Jesus. You believe in God and you believe there is a God, but you don't have this relationship with Jesus. And some of you thought you had, much like Don, and thank you for allowing me to use you, brother. Much like Don, who thought he was saved, but then comes and one day he hears the word of God and it just pierces his heart. And he's like, oh, man, I had Jesus here, but he never got here. And then, boom, he gets saved, gives his life to Jesus, and then realizes there's far more to this than what I thought. And it happens in an instant. The Bible says, and you don't have to put it up, but in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that when we give our life to Jesus, we're a new creature. Old things, old habits, old lifestyles pass away. Behold, remember that word, behold. Let me get your attention. That behold, all things become... Do you like how I wake you up using the word of God, right? All things become new, meaning that old things pass away, the way we think, the way we act, the way we do, that disappears, because now we're gonna follow Jesus. And so now we have new way of thinking, new action, new act, new information that we can follow, and it's gonna change our life. And every one of us in this room has known someone that has truly given their life to Jesus, and you look at them like they're a freak wondering what happened to them. Amen? How many, listen, I'll tell you, when I got saved, everybody was like, what? Who is this dude? And I went from having a multitude of acquaintances to two friends, and then to one, and then to a whole new family. Amen? And I was the one joyful camper. That's what happens when we get saved. If you claim Jesus, but your life never changes, you're not saved. You're not born again. You have religion. You do not have a relationship. And you go, Pastor, you can't judge me. I'm glad you brought that up. Because Jesus says, we know you by your fruits. In other words, we see who you are, how you are, how you walk, how you talk, how your life is. And if it doesn't line up with this, then you're not his. It's really quite simple. But if you find Jesus and surrender to him, and then your life changes and you line up with this, now we see the fruit of that as well. And things become obvious. And then all of a sudden we know who's who. I love this passage because we find it is God's desire for you and for me to have his peace on earth. But we have to recognize he's Theos. He's God. He's in the highest. Bring up the passage for me again. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. I'm going to tell you something. When we have been touched by God as the shepherds were touched by the angels, we should run with haste to tell people. We should run with haste to inform, to help, to love on, to help them see this star and find Jesus. Next verse. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. When we see him, when we truly see him, do we make him widely known? Or are we just silent and we're quiet? Are we really content when people say happy holidays? Oh, I'm not. As a matter of fact, I went to get a coffee the other day and there was a tip jar on there, and on the tip jar it said happy holidays, and I said, if that would have said Merry Christmas, I'd given you a tip. But since you and I don't agree, I don't give you a tip. And you might go, well, that's not right, he didn't put it there. If it were me, I'd have changed it. I'd been like, it's Christmas time, ring-a-ling, give me some change. Do we make him known? Verse 18. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds go and they tell them, God has spoken to us and he has touched us and he did it through angels. And man, this was the whole thing. And then we see this whole army. I mean, army. When I say army, I'm talking army, like the biggest military I've ever seen. Army of angels that were singing. And it was like the sky lit up like the stars, only they were angels. And man, you should have been there. And this is what they told us. And man, we had to hurry up and get here. And he told us where you would be and what you would be wearing and what he would be wearing. And man, here we are. Praise Jesus. This is what's going on. They were excited. Listen, when I got saved, I was so excited to tell Jesus and then tell people about Jesus, and that probably alienated a lot of people, but it also drew a lot of people in. Man, I was winning people to Jesus like 100 a year. I mean, I was just telling everybody about Jesus, and then I started my own business, and very shortly after I got saved, I started my own business, and I was repairing people's cars, and I'd fix their car, and I'd hold their keys. You can't go nowhere until I tell you about Jesus. And I'd share Jesus with them everywhere, and then I'd give them their keys and say, thank you for your business. And some of them were like, this dude's a kook. And some of them were like, man, I need Jesus. And some of them said, where do you go to church? So I can't ever go there to see you again. And I mean, it was good though, right? It was you had this whole onslaught of emotions that were coming in. But I'm telling you, more and more people were getting saved. Why? Because I had to tell people what God did to me and what he did for me. And how I was no longer the same anymore. And Mary kept these things to herself and she pondered them. Why? Because everyone showing up didn't know that Mary got pregnant without ever knowing a man in that way. So it was only of God. It was a miracle. And here she is. She's like, here's God showing up again. Here's God showing up again. And I can imagine for Mary, she, you know, because if you go back in Luke chapter 1, what did Mary say? I'm carrying my Savior, God, my Savior. Even Mary said she needed a Savior. Right there in the scriptures. We can't even deny it. God, my Savior. And she sings this Magnificat, this wonderful song, praising God for seeing her in her lowly state and blessing her with the honor of carrying this child who one day will grow up and die for her sins and ours. And she pondered all of them in her heart because she knew God. And I can imagine how God shows up, the angel shows up, just like he did with the shepherds. And you know, Mary's like, I know what that feels like. Scared the bejeebies out of me too. Right? You get what I'm saying? And she ponders all that in her heart. She understands that. And then I wonder, Joseph, we don't hear a whole lot about Joseph, but I'm sure Joseph did the same thing, because Joseph, an angel appears to him and tells him what's going on. And he's got to be standing there, sitting, whatever it is, going, dude, I get it. There's a ton going on here that sometimes we forget if we don't really put some humanity to this. Because, listen, this is not a fictional story. This is history. The history of our Savior coming onto the scene to make a way for you and I to get to heaven. These are real events that happened, that were written down for our understanding 2,000 years later. Amazing, guys, amazing. Next verse, please. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want you, when you leave here, my goal, my prayer, is that you go home praising God for all the things that He's given us, given you. Life, family, salvation, a mom that cares for you and loves you and makes sure that you're taken care of. All the things, humility to help keep us on the ground so we're not so arrogant and prideful as to think we can do or change one hair on our head. I know, ladies, got it. But you understand what I'm saying? When we leave here, and we go, are you going to be praising God? Or are you going to be complaining? When you leave here, are you going to be leaving here praising God for your salvation and the reminder that He wants peace for you in your heart on earth? That is His desire for you in Him. He's in the highest through His Son, Jesus. Are you going to leave here thinking about that and praising God that you came here for that? Or are you going to leave here going, oh, that was a nice religious service? See, there's your difference. These are all signs that tell you if you're really right with Jesus. If you're sitting here and you're bored, I'm not a boring preacher. I mean, I might not be a good speaker, but I'm not a boring preacher. I'm a crazy bald guy. But when you leave here, are you hating that you came? Because if that's the case, there's a sign you're not saved. If you leave here and you're like, oh yeah, I'm this way when I come into the building, but when and oh yeah, this is good, amen, God bless you. And then when you leave, you live in such a way that God despises. That's a sign you're not saved. See, there's signs everywhere, guys, but the biggest sign is what's going on in your heart right now. Right now. Are you ready to just get out the door and for me to be quiet? There's a sign. Or are you looking at this and you're like, oh, God, thank you. And I know that right now life is chaotic around me and everything, but inside I have you and I have peace and I have contentment. Thank you for that. Like what's going on in your heart right now? That's your sign. If frustration is because you're here and you're wishing you could be somewhere else, there's a sign. You're not saved. Guys, I'm only saying this because I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you to go to heaven, but you got to understand who this son, this boy, this baby that was born in a manger, why he came. And he came so that we didn't have to die and go to hell, but we could go to heaven and be with the Father because that's his desire. And it's not just knowing or believing he exists, it's He's the only way to heaven, and He's my Lord and Savior, and there is no other, and there is nothing else. And man, when you heard that verse getting broken down and understood that it's His desire for us to have this peace and have this place with Him, and in your heart, it was leaping with joy. There's your sign. This is what I'm talking about, guys. And so the greatest Christmas gift ever that anyone could ever have, ever, is salvation. Because that's eternal life. That's the greatest gift. And if I can help you see that this evening, God bless you. And if I can help you understand that, God bless you. And if you understand Christmas better now, God bless you. And if you understand Jesus and the baby and why he was born and all that encompassed and what God's desire is for us to be with him, God bless you. Because that's all that matters. Every gift sitting under the tree, one day will perish. And for most, you won't remember it come next year. 31 years, and my gift is unforgettable. Because my gift was salvation through this baby that came in a manger. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for those that are here, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your desire for us to be with you. For your desire for us to have peace on earth, and that's through salvation through your son, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and it is your desire to bless your children. Thank you for that, Father. But Father, I'm crying out now for those who don't know you as Father and who don't know Jesus as Savior. Lord, I'm just on their behalf, Father, I'm praying and asking and begging for you to touch them right now, Father. Just touch them and show them exactly where they are. That if they're your child, Father, hug them tight. And if they're not your child, Father, put great confusion within their heart where they're struggling. And they're uncomfortable, and they don't know what to do. And then just remind them of what they need to do, and that is to cry out to Jesus with all of their heart and surrender their life. Father, I'm praying for those this Christmas. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this evening and you've realized that you're not saved, you're not a child of God, you are not born again, you have gotten just chaos in your heart, thinking, I hope so, maybe so, I'm a good person, yeah, I'm a good person. Being good doesn't get you to heaven, and hope so, maybe so, doesn't get you to heaven, because the Bible says that we can know that we're going to heaven. And so, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so if you're sitting here today, tonight, with all of your heart, you want to surrender to Jesus. You're not perfect, and you're not going to be perfect. And Jesus says, come to me as you are, and if it's with all of your heart, we'll clean your mess up. We'll do this together. We'll get rid of your chaos together. But you have to come to me with a true heart's desire. If that's you today, and you put all your faith into Jesus Christ, because all of your heart, you want to surrender to God and believe unto him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that is what gets you to heaven. And what I want to do is I want to give you a timestamp where you can say, this day with all of my heart, I gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I understand I won't be the same. I understand my life can change. I understand those around me may not like me anymore. I understand that my world may get flipped upside down because I love Jesus, but I don't care. I take Jesus. If that's you, then I want you to pray a prayer with me. The prayer doesn't save you. It was your belief with all of your heart. That's what saved you. The prayer is what I like to do to give you a timestamp where you can say, this day, with all of my heart, I surrender. That's all the prayer is. And I just want you to pray it with me quietly to yourself. I'm not looking to embarrass you or put you under pressure. You just pray quietly to yourself. You pray this prayer. Jesus, today I surrender. With all of my heart, I surrender. I understand I'm really not a good person because I sin and I have sin in my life. And it may not even be egregious, but it's still sin. And today I lay that at your feet. I can't fix this on my own. But I believe what your word says, that is your desire for me to have peace on earth. And to do that, I have to believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ, your Son, is the Savior of the world. And today I believe. And I ask that you forgive me for all of my sin. And today, with all of my heart, I give myself to you. Teach me, guide me, direct me.